Hours before a House Rules Committee vote on the debt ceiling deal by President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican Congressman Chip Roy spoke out against the agreement.
We will continue to fight it today, tomorrow, and no matter what happens, there's going to be a reckoning about what just occurred unless we stop this bill by tomorrow.
So Republicans have an uphill climb to get support for this bill that would raise the debt limit and freeze spending for 2 years. South Dakota Congressman Republican Dusty Johnson has been involved in negotiations. We spoke with him earlier today. So we know some members of the Freedom Caucus are against this deal, but what about the rest of the House members? Will they be voting for this deal?
I think, yes, the vast majority of the Republican conference in the House is going to vote for this bill. And how could they not? It is in many ways an historic accomplishment. First off, it's the largest ever spending reduction. Secondly, it's the largest ever rescission or clawback of federal funds from the executive branch. Number three, it's the most substantial change we have had to the environmental review and siting process since 1970. And then it's the biggest improvement to welfare reform policy since the 1996 Act. This is a big deal, and Republicans will be supporting it.
And I want to ask you about some of those things in a moment, but let's just focus that there is definitely pushback in your party. Congressman Ralph Norman, Republican of South Carolina, tweeted, "A $4 trillion debt ceiling increase with virtually no cuts is not what we agreed to, not going to vote to bankrupt our country." How are you going to convince members like Congressman Norman and others in the Freedom Caucus to come on board with the deal? Are you going to be trying to convince the Freedom Caucus?
Ralph Norman was never going to vote for this thing, right? I mean, Bob Good, Andy Biggs, they were never going to vote for this thing. Those are members of Congress who are most inclined to let perfect be the enemy of the good. I think what we should focus on is the far larger group of members who are talking about the big wins. And Ralph can say, oh, this doesn't, you know, this doesn't cut spending. Well, the Congressional Budget Office disagrees with him. They say this will cut $2.1 trillion in the 10-year window. That has never happened before.
Representative Johnson, I want to ask you, Republicans voted to raise the debt limit three times under President Trump with no preconditions. So we've seen this can be a simple process, but now we're within days of a default. That could cause a recession. Do members of your party need to rethink how they're handling efforts to raise the debt ceiling?
Well, I didn't vote to raise the debt ceiling at all under President Trump. I didn't think the deal that he cut did enough to change the trajectory of spending. Now, you say there were no preconditions, but let's make it clear. Nancy Pelosi and Democrats in the House did secure concessions from Donald Trump as a part of those debt ceiling negotiations, and that's just what happens.
So let me just ask you about a couple quick things, things that were in this deal. It speeds up some environmental reviews for energy projects, including fossil fuel projects. My question is what that has to do with the debt ceiling. You know, would you want really an expedited environmental review if you lived in that community?
Our country right now is far outside of the mainstream with regard to our review process. You look at countries like Australia, Canada, France, Germany, the same kinds of projects that they can get cited in 2 years, it takes 5 years to get done in America. You can ask, well, what does this really have to do with spending? It has everything to do with spending. If we want to close this deficit, we need to grow the economy at 2.5% or higher, and we need to grow the rate of government spending at 1% or lower. That's very doable if we do things like unlock American energy and get Americans back to work.
And I hear that, but I want to focus for a moment, sir, and we're going to be looking a little bit at this later on in our program. The people who are going to be impacted by such a change, traditionally, historically, low-income people, poor people who live in black and brown communities, and they want to use that time to push back on, say, toxic environmental impacts from a large fossil fuel or energy project polluting their backyard. What do you say to them about the possibility that they won't be able to do that because the expedited process will essentially cut them out of the equation, although they will be on the receiving end of the impacts?
I challenge your premise. This bill does not in any way cut out any legal step. It just guarantees that the federal government agencies work expeditiously. We're not saying that a project answer has to be yes. We're saying that it can't be maybe for 7 or 8 years.
And just finally, Representative Johnson, what will it take to get to 218 votes? And what will happen if you can't?
We're going to get to 218. I have every confidence of that. I wouldn't say that it would be easy. It's not going to be simple, but we're absolutely going to get there.
Representative Dusty Johnson, Republican of South Dakota. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.